Welcome to the Acts in Africa audio recordings. This lesson is entitled Women and Pentecost. This lesson was taught in Banjul, the Gambia, during an Acts 1-8 conference in June 2017. The speaker is Sandy Miller. We hope you enjoy the session and would love to hear your comments. Feel free to contact us at actsinafrica@agmd.org. It is a delight to be here. Thank you for the invitation. Thank you to the leaders who've invited us. It is an honor. And I want you to know now that some of you are going to be called to be God's minister this morning. Some of you are going to be called during this week. All of us are called to minister. Jesus gave us the command to go and witness. He gave it to every person, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. Some of you, though, will be called to do a public ministry. Some of you will have a pulpit ministry. Some of you will have other types of ministry. But God may come call some of you women today to become a special minister. So open up your heart. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask now that the words that I say will reach down, way down deep into the very heart of the people. That the words that I say will come directly from you. And Lord, that you open up the heart of each person that's here, each woman that's here, each man that is here, and that they will hear what you have to say. Maybe not necessarily what I'm speaking, but speak to their hearts during this session. God, we ask you these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to show you, first of all, where God has always planned to use women. Women has always been on God's agenda. And he's always wanted to use them. He wants to use you. And then we're going to show you how that God used women during a later period. And then how God is using women across Africa even today. Get your mind in gear about God can use me. Even think, maybe God wants to use me. Maybe God wants to call me. First of all, I want to show you how God used women in the Old Testament. There are many stories in the Bible about how God used women. I'm only going to mention a few of them, and I'll give you the reference. One of the first examples I want to give you is Deborah. Now, I'm going to go through this pretty quickly because I have a lot to say, and so be sure to listen with fast ears, okay? God used Deborah. Back in the book of Judges, I think it's Judges chapter 4, she was a prophetess. She was a ruler over Israel. She was a judge. And she was a leader of an army. Now, can you imagine this? This lady was a mighty woman of God, and God used her. There was another lady in 2 Kings, chapter 22. You'll also find her in Chronicles. Her name was Huldah. She was a prophetess. God used her. And you know, many of the kings would even send his workers and say, go find the prophetess Huldah and ask her what God has to say. She had a reputation of God using her. You've read the book of Esther and how Esther saved the Jews from annihilation. God used this young woman and put her in a situation that if she had not gone to the king and requested that the king do certain things, the Jews would have been killed. But God used this lady. He had a pattern. And then, let's move on to the New Testament. God used women even before the day of Pentecost. What about Mary, the mother of Jesus? God used just a woman, a young virgin, a maiden, to bring birth to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then Mary also prophesied. Elizabeth, her cousin, prophesied. Then Anna in the temple. Remember when Jesus was a baby, they took Jesus to the temple and Simeon was there. He was a prophet. But Anna was there also and she was a prophetess and she prophesied concerning Jesus and what he would do. And then at Pentecost, God used women. Now let's look at a scripture in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. This is one of my favorite parts, how God wanted to use women. This is where Jesus began to say, I'm going to pour out my spirit and use women. If you look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, they all joined together in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. So you notice when Jesus commanded his disciples to go and wait in the city of Jerusalem until the Spirit was poured out, you notice who was there? The women were there. Now, why were the women there too? Let's look at that. Number one, they had the same command. They were commanded to stay in the city of Jerusalem. Number two, they had the same promise. They were promised that they would receive power after the Holy Spirit came upon them. Number three, they had the same experience. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they had the same sign. They would speak in tongues for the same purpose, that they would be empowered and that they would be witnesses for Him. And so the women were given all of the same promise. They were given the same command that the men were given. We have the same responsibility. The men can't do it all. The women also have this responsibility to win the lost. Are you ready? Are you ready to go? It's our responsibility to go too. Can you imagine, if you think about it, on that day of Pentecost when all this was happening and all these 120 people were filled and they were just going through the temple and they were praising and worshiping God and speaking in tongues, and people noticed that the women were there speaking in tongues with them also? Can't you imagine? They were maybe a little bit even confused. They were not used to this and they thought, what are the women doing this? Well, Peter stands up and he gives the explanation. And this is what he says. And I know you probably know this scripture by heart now, but in Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, it says, in the last days it shall be, God declares. Now there's no going against this because God has declared it, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters, includes daughters right there, shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And then he repeats this. It's important enough that he repeats it. This time it's for servants. He wanted to be sure that everyone understood that the women, the rich, the poor, the men, the youth, everybody was included in this command. Even on my male servants and my female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit and they will prophesy. This was for all of us. All of us are under this command. God has given the women the commandment to witness and to minister to Him as much as anybody else. Okay, let's go on past this and let's look into the book of Acts where God used women. Priscilla. You remember Aquila and Priscilla? Priscilla was the dominant one that, she wasn't dominant in personality, but she took the main lead in training Apollos, Philip's daughters. Philip, in Acts 21 and 9, Priscilla was 18, Acts 18. Philip's daughters, talks about them in Acts 21 verse 9. He had four daughters and every one of them prophesied. So you see, God is using women here. Then you ask me, well, but what about Paul? What about his comments about women? What do you say about that? Well, number one, Paul was dealing with a certain situation that had problems in a church that he had to deal with. He was trying to correct some church problems. So he was dealing with a totally different matter than women just prophesying. However, he did not tell the women here they could not prophesy. He told the women how they could prophesy more effectively. Some of the women were not acting right. They were not doing well, and they were not getting attention. And Paul stopped them and told them, said, no, if you will do this, you can prophesy more effectively. One thing I want us to realize is sometimes when we hear a teaching over and over and over, it becomes true to us. When we have not really gone to the Scripture and sought the Scripture out and see what the Scripture has said, we just kind of take our culture for what it has said. But one thing I would like you to do is go to the Scripture, go to the New Testament, read and find out what God's Word really says about it, and then go by what it really says. But even in Romans chapter 16, Paul commends 10 women right there by name, about how what outstanding women had helped him in his ministry. So Paul was not against women. Paul worked hard with women. So then the women had their part in the New Testament age and helped fulfilling commission of Jesus. Then years passed, and our heritage, our own heritage that we live in today, shows us how God has used women. Now, back in the late 1800s and the early 1900s, there was a period of time where people were not being filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm sure there were a few here and there that were filled, but you didn't hear it taught, you didn't hear it preached. But it was just a time that was a kind of a backslidden time. But in the early 1900s, there was a new hunger that sprung up, that people wanted more from God than what was happening in their lives. And in a little place in America called Topeka, Kansas, there was a Bible school, and there was a group of students there that were asked to look at the book of Acts and see what it said concerning the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And these students came up with the fact that they felt like that after reading the book of Acts, that the same thing could happen now as happened in the church age. So they began to pray and ask God to move upon them and send a revival and send the Holy Spirit upon them. The first one who received the Holy Spirit was a young lady named Agnes Osmond. I don't have time to go into all the story, but it's an amazing story of how the Azusa Street started and the revival then started that even lasts to today. The revival then moved from Topeka, Kansas, down to the south of America in Houston, Texas. Lucy Farah was a woman there who introduced William Seymour to the Holy Spirit. Well, without going into detail, even without being filled with the Holy Spirit, William Seymour believed in the Holy Spirit. He sought to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but he had not been filled with the Holy Spirit when he was called to go to Los Angeles to pastor a church. So William Seymour got on a train, went to Los Angeles, and wanted to pastor a church, but when he preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit at a Nazarene church, they locked him out of it and wouldn't even let him in there. Well, he didn't have money to go back to Houston, so they started a church on the veranda of a house. And soon, William Seymour was filled with the Holy Spirit, and a revival began to spring up on Azusa Street. And this revival lasted for 3.5 years. It went 14 hours a day and for 7 days a week. People from everywhere came to this revival. People from other countries, people from Africa, people from South America, from all other nations. Missionaries would come in and they would hear the teaching on the Holy Spirit and they would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they would go back out of Azusa, back to their nations and to their country, and they begin to teach on the Holy Spirit. And a revival was happening everywhere, all around Azusa. Now at Azusa, it was a church now, and they had a committee of elders, and half of the women on that committee was women. So you can see God was still beginning to use women. He used Lucy Farah at that Azusa revival. Seymour called Lucy Farah back to the Azusa revival to help pray for people to receive the Holy Spirit. The woman, the pastor that had locked William Seymour out of the Nazarene church, came to the Azusa Revival, repented, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and later went to Africa as a missionary. There was another lady, Lucy Farah, also. You know, she was the one that helped introduce Seymour to the Holy Spirit, but later on she went to Africa as a missionary. Julia Hutchins was the one who was opposed to Seymour and locked him out of the church, and she repented and went to Africa as a missionary. Then after the Azusa Revival in 1914, the Assemblies of God was born. Now, why were the Assemblies of God formed? Why do you think the Assemblies of God were formed in the first place? Number one, they were formed as a mission movement. They felt like Jesus is coming, and if we don't win the world, then it's going to be lost. So the Assemblies of God was formed in order to do missions. Now, during that time, at 1914, 60% of the missionaries that the Assemblies of God sent out were women. Women have always played a part in the mission of God. Many of those missionaries died on foreign soil. We have many Assemblies of God missionaries that are buried right here in Africa. They gave their lives to come. Now let's move on to today. Is God still using women in Africa today? Yes, He is using women today. My husband and I and our Acts in Africa team have been in 38 countries doing these Acts in Africa conferences. And so we see a lot of things and things that are happening. Things are changing in Africa. National churches are taking down barriers and letting women pastor churches. Some of them are becoming district superintendents and so on. The barriers are coming down. Right now in Burkina Faso, there are 100,000 women who fast and pray every week for a revival in Burkina Faso. That could be done in the Gambia. There's many things that we can do. There are lady pastors who are planting churches all over Africa. When we were in Malawi, there was a lady there named Mai or Mrs. Nzumwe. She was quite a lady. She came to the Bible school after she had retired for working for the government. And she came to the Bible school, made the best grades in the Bible school, and then went to pastor a church. Well, she was asked if she would like to have a tabernacle. Do you know what a tabernacle is? You've seen the tabernacles here that they bring over. Have they seen the tabernacles? There are tabernacles. She was asked if she needed a tabernacle in order to start a church. And she told them no, she didn't want a tabernacle. They were too small. She was going to build a bigger church than that. And she did. She built a very large church and was a very effective pastor. In Kenya, our team went to Rendili Land up in the desert of northern Kenya. There was a lady there named Maria. And her story is amazing. She went to her district superintendent and told him, God has called me to go to the Rendili and to win the Rendili for Jesus. And the district superintendent told her, said, you can't go to the Rendili. Said, you're a grandmother. You're older. And besides, we don't have the money to support you. Well, so he turned her down and she didn't go. But she still felt this feeling from the Lord that she was supposed to go to the Rendili. Well, during this time, she was invited to go to a conference in America. Her way would be paid. They would give her $300 extra for food. She went to this conference. Well, once she got to the conference, she noticed that during the conference, at the break time, they served snack food, the little foods that she could eat. So an idea came to her head. She said, oh, I know what I'm going to do. During the break time, I'm just going to eat this food here, and I'm going to save my money so I can go to the Rendili. So that's exactly what she did. She saved her $300. She got back on the plane. She went back to her district superintendent, and she said, now I have the money. I'm going to the Rendili. The lady went to the Rendili. We met her there. She opens, there's five or six churches now where she was the missionary who opened up that field for the Rendele. And she told us when we were there, I feel God now is calling me to Somalia. Somalia? Somalia, she could be killed, she could die. And the last I've heard, she has made trips into Somalia. Somalia is hard. Pray for Maria. Maria is a special lady, and she may be a martyr for Christ one of these days. She just keeps walking into harder and harder territory. Ladies, we can do it. We can do it. We can do it. Don't limit us. God wants to use women to participate in the mission of God. Women have unique gifts. Women are sensitive to the Spirit of God. Women listen. They can hear God speaking. There is a sense in them that they just sense when things are not just right or when things are right. They have a unique gift of that. Women are compassionate. Women are serious. When they want something done, just ask their husband. Women can get serious. And women are tough. They are strong. They endure. They endure situations that are very difficult. God has given them this ability. But women also have unique opportunities. Women can do things and go places that men cannot do. What about Muslim women? Can men go to the Muslim women and win them to Jesus? No. The women can. In fact, it is the hope of the Muslim women for women to be involved in ministry. We have to go to those Muslim women. We don't have a choice. We're the only ones that can do it. Befriend them. Be their friend. Let them know who you are. Women are an essential part of God's army. God is building an army, and He wants everyone in it. He wants the men, and He wants the women to be in it. What can women do to participate in the mission of God? Number one, have a desire to be filled with the Spirit. Some of these places, you don't even need to try to go unless you're filled with the Spirit. Some of these things you can't even try to do unless you're filled with the Spirit. Have a desire for God to use you, be filled with the Spirit so you can speak by the Spirit. See, the reason we're filled with the Spirit is so we can speak by the Spirit, so God can speak to us. Remember when Peter got up on the day of Pentecost? First of all, he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he began to speak in tongues. But then when he got up the second time and began to preach that sermon, the Bible said he was speaking by the Spirit because he had been filled with the Spirit. You need to be filled with the Spirit so God can speak through you by His Spirit. Another thing the women can do is be mature. Sometimes women do have a problem with not being mature in their Christian walk. And when they want to be in leadership, sometimes they can be very immature. Sometimes they can cry if they don't get their way. Sometimes they complain because, you know, people are not noticing the gifts that God has given them. Sometimes women can be a little bit of a problem. Women, don't be that way. If God has called you, He will make a way for you. He will cause your gifts to be noticed. If you will be mature and sit there and just let God make the way for you, you don't have to worry about all of that. Don't complain. Don't cry. Be mature. Sometimes this is the reason women don't get positions. It's because the men don't want to deal with their crying. And you can't blame them. You know, so just be mature. Pray. Ladies and men, for you also. Be a person of prayer. Pray. Not just praying over your lesson. Not praying over your session. Not just praying over. But have a special time of prayer during the day that God can speak to you. Pray in the Spirit. God wants us to be a witness every day. Therefore, we have to go before Him every day and have a time of prayer and asking Him to use us and to work through us. pray, not just over sessions and over your lessons and over what you're going to do, but say, God, what do you want? Where do you want me to go today? What do you want me to do? He's not the co-captain. He's the captain. You're the co-person. He's the one using you. He will tell you. He will give you directions. He will open up doors. There may be a divine appointment when you walk out your door and someone is crying and you walk over and say, what is wrong? I don't know. Is something happening? And this person may have a problem and that God may have set this appointment up where you can say, oh, well, let me pray with you. God will fix it. You need prayer every day in order to walk in the Spirit. You need to spend that time. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. You know, the benefits of the Spirit. It's not just so we can witness. There are the main reason we are filled with the Spirit is to witness. But there are benefits that come with being filled with the Spirit. When I pray in the mornings, and when the Holy Spirit begins to pray through me, pastors, if you're not teaching your people they need to be filled with the Spirit, you are cheating them. You are cheating them. Where do you think they're going to get their strength in order to go through problems and hardships in life? If you don't teach your people they can be filled with the Spirit and God can help them through every day, you are cheating them. When I'm going through something that I don't know the answer to, I begin to pray in the Spirit. And the Bible says when we pray in the Spirit in us knows the mind of the Father in heaven. Therefore, He knows the will of the Father in heaven, and He prays through us according to His will, and then our prayers are answered. When we pray in the Spirit, we're praying according to God's will. How many want to pray according to God's will? Pastors, you're cheating your people if you don't teach them to be filled with the Spirit. They cannot grow. They cannot be overcomers. They cannot be witnesses. You are cheating them. And you're cheating yourself. You're cheating yourself out of people who can be workers in your congregation. Teach them. Teach them. Another one is understand the Word. And I have a little bit of testimony here, and I'm going to try to hurry through it. But this has become the main thrust of my feeling. I was raised in church. I grew up in church. We have spoken in tongues in our house ever since I can remember. I know the stories of David and Goliath, of Jonah and the whale, of Noah and the ark. I know those stories. I love God. I never wanted to offend God. I was always worried about grieving the Holy Spirit. I was filled with the Spirit at an early age. All of these things, I feel like Nicodemus, I've done from my youth up. I know it. But I began to understand there was something I was missing. From the time I married, my father knew the Word. He preached the Word. He wasn't a preacher, but he preached the Word. He witnessed to everybody he saw. Him and my husband, my brother's brother, and just certain people around us would sit and they would discuss theology. They would discuss the Bible. They discussed the things that they learned in the Bible. And I began to wonder, where are they getting all that stuff? How are they? I've read the Bible through and I didn't get all that stuff. Where did they get it? And so years passed and I would read the Bible. I was faithful. You know, part of our religion is read the Bible and pray every day. And that's what I did. I read the Bible. I knew a lot about the Bible. Well, I am ashamed. I am embarrassed to even tell you this. But about 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, in our church, they said, we're going to start this reading program and we're going to read the Bible through in 1 year. Would everybody smile at me? I said, I'm going to do this reading program with this church. Well, I started off with a reading program was too fast. And I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. I am going to go through the Word and I'm going to go through it slowly. And I'm not going to read it just because I'm supposed to read the Bible every day. I'm going to read it and see what I can get and see if I can find some of that stuff they're talking about. I did. I want you to know it changed my life. In the last 4 years, my life has been transformed. I had rules and regulations all my life, and because I'm a rule keeper, I kept them. And I'm so thankful for those rules and regulations because they kept me until I could understand the truth of the matter. There's so much I didn't really catch and understand that so many do. And I know I'm a little bit more simple-minded than most people. I am. I always have been. But I begin to understand how this word is a path of redemption. And it just did, and it's not just stories that happened back then. This is our history. This happened in our history. God created the world. And you know why He created man? So that He could have fellowship with man. Not so that He could have rules and regulations and snap him into shape and do whip him or whatever. He wanted to love him. He wanted to bring him into fellowship. He knew from the beginning of the world, He knew at creation, that Jesus was going to come as our Savior. He knew all of these things. There's all kinds of prophecies about Jesus coming and dying on the cross in the Old Testament. This is our history. This is we walk with Moses through the wilderness and Joshua and all of these people, even Abraham, as we walk through it. This is part of our history. This is what happened in our history. He had us in mind. He had you in mind. He had me in mind. There were so many things I did not put together. I did not put together that the Jewish world from the end of the Old Testament of Malachi was not the same Jewish world as it was when Jesus was born. I didn't put that together. It was a totally different. I didn't put together that it was the Jews who were crucifying Jesus. Jesus' own people were crucifying him instead of the Romans. I'd heard that all my life, but it didn't register. Why didn't it sink into my mind? Now the reason, there's many other things also that but the reason I'm telling you this, I don't think I'm the only one. I think we have pastors who don't understand it. And this is dear to my heart. I'm thinking, if the pastors don't understand it, how can they teach their people? If they're not teaching their people, how are they learning this? What are they going to do? All of a sudden, it made me understand why I am out there witnessing to somebody. What the big deal is about somebody accepting Jesus Christ. I'm learning what the big deal is. It put fire in my bones. I'm wanting everybody to know about it. I'm wanting everybody to understand that this book will change you. Don't read it just to get a sermon. Don't read it just to teach your Sunday school class. Start from the beginning. Go through every passage of that scripture and see how it unfolds and see how God called His children to Him many, many times, but they went astray. But He continued to call them and to bring them back to Him. He is still calling us and still bringing us back to Him. And He's saying, I want you to reach everyone. He loves everyone. He loves everyone. He wants all of us. Read your word, please. Get to know what God is saying. It's all in there. It will change your life. The next part. The need of the hour demands that women participate in the mission of God. We are in the last days. We don't have much time. The need of the hour demands that women participate in the mission of God. We have entered a decade of Pentecost. There's goals being set. Women make up more than half of the workforce. We don't have time to decide who can go to the harvest field and who can't. Everyone is needed. The harvest is great and the laborers are few. Do you notice how few the laborers are? Do you notice how many more workers that we need out there winning the Gambia than what we have? The laborers are few. Who can go to the harvest? Anyone can go, and everyone. Let me ask you this. I hear that you plant spinach, green onions, cabbage. Is this right? All of these things that are planted out in the provinces. Do the women help in the harvest of those things? The women do help in the harvest. The women do the harvest. The women do the harvest. Do you know what am I going to say? Oh, dear. See, the women are needed in the harvest. They're needed in the harvest of the gospel just as well. You know, everyone's invited to do the harvest, aren't they? You would allow the men to help you in the harvest, wouldn't you? Everyone is needed in the harvest. Everyone is needed in the harvest. Don't leave anyone out. Don't leave the men out. Don't leave the women out. Don't leave the children out. The women, the children work in the harvest. They tell their friends about Jesus. Don't leave the youth. Don't leave anyone out. It's harvest time. Harvest time is a time of urgency. When it's time to harvest that spinach, you don't go on a holiday and go see your relatives. You do the harvest. Well, it's harvest time. The last point I want to make, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming soon. The Gambia is waiting on you. Africa is waiting on you. And the world is waiting on you. There's work to be done, so it's time to get busy. The harvest is ready, and it's ripe, and it's even passing. Some people are dying, and they don't even know Jesus. So pick up your tools. Equip yourself with the Holy Spirit and go out into the fields where the harvest is waiting for you, where the Gambia is waiting for you. Let's all stand.